Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening and watching the Italian American Entertainment Podcast. And I'm your host, Vince Shirelli. And today I'll be talking to Al, the Sicilian guy. And Al has been making hilarious videos that bring back memories of how it was to grow up Italian. And welcome, Al. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you, Vince. Thank you for having me. I am great. Hope as well with you.
Yeah, everything's really good. Glad to finally talk to you, and I've been watching your videos for a while. You're definitely a funny guy, so this will be an interesting talk to see about your life and your comedy. So
absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Sounds good.
All right, so to start, how I usually start all these with all my guests is, I think you're a little different because if I'm right, you were actually born in Sicily, correct?
I was.
All right. So you're a definite first generation immigrant. So this is a little different with you. But where are you from now? Where do you live now? And then where is your Italian? Assuming Sicilian, of course. But where in Sicily are you from?
Yeah, of course. So both my parents are Sicilian, and my mother's from a town of the province of Palermo, which is called Bagheria. My father is from a province in Palermo, which is called Termini Imerese. Once they got together and got married in the 60s, they moved to the city of Palermo. So I am the baby of four siblings. So we all were raised in the actual city of Palermo. My father, because of a job position in 1994, decided to join the rest of his family in the States. And I was 13 at the time when I moved to the United States. So we immigrated and we came to New Jersey. So I am in Bergen County, New Jersey. And I was pretty much raised from the age of 13 in New Jersey.
Wow, that's very cool. Yeah, my mom was born. We're from Agrigento, Aragona. And then my grandma's side is from Palermo. So she's a Palermitana. Okay. Yeah, I've been to Palermo. Yeah. Spent a month in Palermo. Very interesting city. I love it. I want to go back.
It really is. It's there's a lot of beauties in that city. There's mountains. There's beautiful mountains. There's beautiful ocean. So it's great for skiing. It's great for the summer vacations. You could pretty much do everything there. Yeah.
Yeah, Mondello is beautiful.
That's one of my preferred beaches where I go.
Yeah, it's beautiful there. Yeah. I forgot the mountain there, but you can go. Santa Rosalia is up there.
Ponte Pellegrino.
Pellegrino. That's beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's beautiful, but I'm sure you eat a lot of panelli then.
We love it. We still keep it alive. We still make them here. We still eat them. Yeah, absolutely. Pane panelle. That's our chickpea flour fried street food. Absolutely.
That is. Yeah, it's my uncles try to make it every year, and it's always a fight between them because they can never get it right. It's sometimes difficult to make. I don't know why it's that difficult, but
if you don't get the consistency of the actual flour when you cook it, it happens where it breaks. So you kind of have to make it like perfect where when you fry it, it stays all in one piece and it doesn't break. And I tried it myself and I'm not capable. It's hard. It's not a thing. It looks easy, but it's really not.
I know.
I know what you're doing, you know?
Yeah, I used to make fun of them because it's just like every year you guys can't figure this out. But after it is difficult. But so how was it being 13 years old assimilating in America?
I'm not going to lie, Vince, it was rough. It was rough. I mean, here you are, a teenage kid where he's got all his friends there in Sicily. You're in school. You got your soccer team there. You got your hobbies. You got your routine already at 13. And coming to a different world where now you have to make new friends, just the culture shock, everything is different. So yeah, it was kind of rough. I'm not gonna lie, Vince. It was kind of rough. And it took me a few years to kind of get used to it, actually.
Yeah, no, I could imagine. I wasn't born there, but both sides of my family were 100% Sicilian. So I was actually watching your video yesterday about Nutella, and I went through that. I used to get made fun of at school when I ate Nutella sandwich, because I was probably, there was a couple of us Sicilians, but I was the only one in my specific class, and I used to get made fun of all the time, and now it's like the go-to thing. Everybody loves Nutella.
These people are going to make fun of us eating Nutella, all right? Calling us, you know, certain names, what it looked like, the sandwich Nutella. So you got to eat, and you got to hide it in the foil. You got to try to hide it, because these babbe are making fun of us, okay? Here comes Kobe Bryant a couple years later, makes a God rest his soul, actually, Kobe Bryant. He makes a nice commercial about Nutella, and now everybody loves Nutella. Everybody, Nutella is everywhere now. They got hotels made of Nutella. They got everywhere, whatever store you go, they got crepe with Nutella, ice cream with Nutella. It's Nutella everywhere. Yet we had to take a beating as kids for Nutella.
I know, between that and when my mom would, the beautiful bread with the mortadella, I would get just made fun of all the time. Just like, what the heck? They're eating bologna sandwiches. I'm eating a nice sandwich.
Yeah, my mom used to make some semolina sandwiches like this. She used to put everything in those sandwiches. Mortadella, prosciutto, ham. Listen, I had like a little miniature Italian Sunday dinner at school.
Yep, that's how it was. But so you're naturally, you know, just talking to you, this is the first time we talk, but you're naturally, you have, you know, the comedy in your blood. But when did you actually start performing comedy?
Well, Vince, for starters, I think I started when I first stepped foot in school, in kindergarten. All right? I was always a class clown. So growing up, going to school, every time I felt like I needed to make people laugh. It was like a high for me. So every time I was in school or in class, I literally made everybody laugh. And it's something I just had with me. And I did it every single year in school. And it was amazing. It was funny. It was so, I don't know, man. Where actually this started was in 2015. So we're looking at about 5 years ago, where I just started putting some videos on Instagram and social media. And that's where, you know, where I got a good feedback on how people really enjoyed the videos. And because I just figured that us Italians, what we do is just funny, period. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. If you look at it from an outsider, it's funny. So I figured I'd get that material, reenact it, put it on video. And that's where I got the great feedback from social media. And then about a year later, around 2016, people started asking me to bring it on stage. And that's what I did. In 2017, I created my... late 2016, I wrote my own show, and in 2017, I brought it to on stage, and I got a good reaction from the crowd. It was great, and that's when I went nationwide with shows, and from there, here we are.
Yeah, that's great. You know, it's interesting. It's wonderful to hear stories like that. Where I'm assuming you have a regular job or something else you do or was doing.
I do.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I know it's great to hear. You know, I'm an Italian musician. So from the beginning, my grandfather was an Italian musician. He was from Sicily. And so I take after and keep the legacy going. And so it's always been that I wanted to be a musician. But take a guy like you were just, you know, 5 years ago. That's great that you were able to start something online and now actually take it to audiences, live audiences. And not now, of course, because of COVID. But how was that transition from going to, you know, just a cell phone in front of your face to, you know, hearing people laugh live? And stand-up comedy is a very tough, it's, you know, worse than music, because if you bomb, you bomb. So, I mean, how was that getting into that industry?
I'll be honest with you, it's tough. It's tough because you write your own material, And you're hoping for the best of it. It's all about, I guess, delivery and about how you explain a story. So my comedy is pretty much based on everything that's relatable. So that's where I took it. I took it to the point where if I'm telling a story, and you're in the Italian American community or you're Italian American, you're definitely relating to what I'm talking about. And I made it in a way that even if you're not Italian American, I made it in a way where it's funny because now you're seeing how Italians are like. So it took a little time to get the, you know, to get everything into perfection. Going on stage in front of a crowd, for me, it was like the most amazing experience. The more the crowd laughed, and the more energy it gave me, and the more it wanted me to be up there and say funny and say funny things and continue. So in that aspect, it's the best feeling in the world when you have all these people in front of you and you're entertaining them and they're laughing at your joke. It's amazing. As far as bombing, I haven't experienced that yet.
That's good.
Successful. They've been, you know, the right crowds, great crowds. And, so the feedback has been good. So I hope I never get to that point where I bomb and I have to have that experience. If it does, it does. But hopefully it doesn't. You know?
Right. Yeah. So what's your we'll get into this a little later, too, before we end the show about what's going on for you next. But are your plans after, you know, once venues and things start reopening, is it to take this back on the road and hit the entire country then?
Absolutely. Well, the plan was 2020. We had bookings everywhere. We had bookings in the all of the Northeast, including cities of New York, New Jersey, all five boroughs in New York. Then we had Boston. We had Philly. Then we had Detroit. We had Chicago. We had Milwaukee. We had San Diego in California. We had so many cities. We had two cities in Canada, which included Toronto and Montreal. And then we had Australia booked as well in Melbourne. And that was a plan. So now we had to cancel. I think I ended up doing one show in New Jersey in February. And my second one was in March in Boston. And that got canceled. So we ended up canceling everything for 2020. Our plan is to see how 2021 is and start and do a tour in 2021 to see if we could, if you know, it all depends on COVID, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's just something that just really, it's tough. It's tough. So we don't know what's open, what's not. So we can't really plan ahead. But our plan is to get back on the road for 2021.
Yeah, it's a tough time to my band. I mean, we play mostly Italian festivals around the country. And so every single one of them was canceled. So, I mean, it's tough. We had a lot of dates, and I think we've only played maybe 15 times this year, so it's a crazy time.
Right,
but
right.
Yeah,
I perform at some at certain feasts too around the country. They invite me to go to their feasts. I perform a little bit, but obviously everything got canceled, so that was
yeah.
Something else. Did do some private events though this year in 2020, which a lot of people had some outdoor weddings and outdoor festivities, and I was hired to do some comedy there, so that was good. You know, that's pretty cool. I something different, smaller crowd, but it was fine. It was cool. It was comedy.
No, that's great. Yeah. So one thing that's always when I watch your videos, I always think of this first is, what does your mom think of this?
You'd be surprised, but she's actually very supportive. She actually cracks up. She really cracks up because, you know, like I do certain skits that it hits home for her as well. And things that she went through when she was growing up and things that now she does to us when we were growing up. So believe it or not, she finds it very, very entertaining because it brings her back to when she was a child. But in the same time, now she's doing it. So it's really positive feedback from both my parents, actually. They both love it, and they actually have a kick out of it. Yeah.
No, that's great. I I don't think I could do it with with my mom. I grew up the same way, of course, but I give you props for being able to put it out on video. I couldn't be able to do it with my mom watching me make fun of her, not really making fun. And that's the thing is, you're not really making fun of the person. It's just really just shedding light on, you know, the cultures that didn't go through this, of how it was to grow up that way. Because it's, to us, it was normal at that age. Like, oh, okay, this is normal. But then you get older, it's like, okay, this is, you know, I didn't marry an Italian. My wife is Jewish, which very similar to the Sicilians, actually. But, you know, it's just like she looks at me and just thinks, all these things you guys are talking about, why is your mom yell at you to when you go outside with wet hair? That's not how you catch a flu. That's not how it works.
Exactly the point. So pretty much it's not really making fun of them, but it's things that we do that are just so, I guess you could say the Sicilians are very dramatic with everything that they do. So if you look at it from a different perspective, it's actually funny. It's funny because it's things that you just grow up with and you don't realize how funny they are until somebody else sees it and says, oh my God, I grew up the same way. So it's not just my crazy family. And another thing that makes me very proud of what I do is that I shed some light on many, many, many people where they actually reach out to me from all parts of the world, including England, English Italians, Australian Italians. And they tell me like, oh my God, I thought it was only my family, or, you know, I'm so happy it's not just us, and I can't believe you're in a different part of the world, but they're all the same. So yeah, so that's a proud moment for me where I could actually, you know, bring, you know, where to show people where their culture, no matter where the Sicilian goes, where the Italian goes, it's the same all over the world. They all, it's almost like they have this, it's in their blood to just act the way they do.
Right. No, it's amazing to me too. When I see your videos and some other guys doing these videos, it's like, man, we all came from the same little island or country, went all our separate ways. Yet, even like the little accent you put to it and the broken English and the Italian, it's just like, how did someone in New Jersey and me in Rockford, Illinois, outside of Chicago, it's like, it's exactly the same. It's crazy to think of that. And now I'm hearing about some other guy, Canada. A lot of Italians up in Canada, similar things up there. And so it is pretty amazing. And part of this, and the reason I'm doing this show is, and the reason I'm sure you're doing what you're doing, is to continue the tradition and keep this going for, you know, our kids and grandkids and everybody, so it doesn't die out. And I think that's, yeah.
Because you have new generations where, you know, you have first generation, second generation, third generation, where it starts dying out. And I, as well, that's why a lot of people, you know, tell me to, you know, how come you just don't leave it all in English, the video, and you throw in the Italian? Because that's another thing I'm doing for all the Italians. I want people to know how great it is to speak a different language. And see, I speak both the, you know, proper Italian and Sicilian. The reason why I throw in more Sicilian is because the old school Italians, they'd rather speak the Sicilian language. Where, you know, if you go to like Sicily now, all the new generation is speaking the proper Italian, and they don't find the Sicilian language, the dialect, as appealing. So they try not to use it. I want to keep that alive. I want to keep that alive for the older generation and for the new generation to hear what the real Sicilian sounds like and how we are culturally. So that's what I like to do. I like to keep it alive and our tradition alive. That's another big thing why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, no, that's great. And what's interesting too is I grew up the same way because we're all Sicilian. I didn't really know the proper Italian. So if I speak anything, it's, you know, it's the dialect. And of course, even different regions in Sicily had their own specific dialect.
Yes. Totally.
Yeah. And
her dialect with mine, probably it's the same. We understand each other, but we'll know that we're from two different places because it does sound different.
Exactly. And then what happened, you know, the majority of Italian immigration to this country was mostly Sicilian and Southern Italian. And
That's right. And
what happened too, which is very funny, is we took that and, you know, Americanized and this, we butchered the two languages together and formed these words that when I went to Sicily for the first time, I had no idea these words. I thought
were actually English words that we turned into Sicilian.
Exactly. Yeah. So when I went there, I was, where's the bucauzu? And they all looked at me like, what the heck is a bucauzu? And I was like, I don't know how to say bathroom. That's how I grew up hearing bathroom was bucauzu. And all Yeah.
We're going, can I get a bega?
Yeah.
Bega is not, they're never going to understand what bega is, you know, the boost. It's a bat.
Exactly.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Vince. That's the words that you speak them in Sicilian, but they're actually American words that we turn it into. And I did touch that point as well in one of my videos as well.
Yeah, no, and what's interesting is I just found on Amazon Prime there's a documentary about Sicily that I just started watching, and it's pretty amazing if you look back at the history of Sicily, because it was kind of the central point of the entire Mediterranean. That was like the stronghold that if you held Sicily, you kind of controlled all, you know, everything moving through.
That's
the Mediterranean.
Why we invaded so much.
Yeah, and what I never knew is prior to you know, the last invasion of Sicily, which was Garibaldi, which the unification of Italy and Sicily, everything, that Sicilian, the dialect of Sicily, was actually the spoken language of all of Italy, that only 5% of Italians spoke the proper Italian that we know now. It was all Napolitano or Siciliano. It was all these dialects, which is interesting because now it's the reverse. Now it's 99% of everybody speaks the proper.
Point that you just made. I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And I think the one statistic I heard, there's more Sicilians living in the United States than there are living in Sicily. So
probably.
It's crazy.
We're literally, we're everywhere.
Yeah.
We're everywhere. I went to an island, where was I? I went to St. Martin. And I'm walking around the island and I went to this ice cream place. And I find out that the owner is a Sicilian, that they live there. We're, you know, places that you think that Sicilians are not, they're there. We're there. We're everywhere. You can't get rid of us.
It's true. Well, and, you know, the most, what I find, you know, especially with you, you got the flag behind, you got the Trinacria behind you. We're proud. Sicilians are proud to be Sicilian. You know, if you say, are you Italian or are you Sicilian? You're going to say you're Sicilian first. The true Sicilians do that. And when I tell people, you know, when they talk to me about this stuff and Italian food and, you know, especially in the Midwest, a lot of Sicilians are here where I live out of the Chicago area.
In Chicago and I had a full sold out show. It was amazing. There were so many Sicilians in Chicago. I couldn't believe my eyes. Yeah, it's amazing there.
Yeah, Rockford, where I live, we're about an hour and a half outside of Chicago, and mostly Sicilian, if anything, in this town, if you say you're Italian. But especially because of that, when I talk to another person from Rockford and they say, oh, the Italian food here, it's actually more... I think Americans are used to Sicilian food more than they are the Northern Italian food, because the Sicilian is more of the red, a little spicier red sauce, the sugo.
Oh, and more flavor.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So
it is. It's actually Sicilian mostly, and then it's Southern. Southern is second, the food. When you say Italian food, yeah, it's mostly Southern and Sicilian, because, you know, we technically do have the best cuisine of all, you know, all of Italy. I just want to touch a point that you mentioned something about, you know, certain Italians or certain Sicilians kind of say, oh, I'm not Italian, I'm Sicilian. I get that whole point. I don't deny being Italian. I specify, that's what I do. If somebody says, are you Italian? I'll answer, yes, I'm Italian, I'm Sicilian. So I don't say, no, I'm not Italian, I'm Sicilian, but I'll just specify that I am, you know, from Sicily and I'm from the island. Well, I think that's you know, the right way to do it, because at the end of the day, you know, we're all Italian, just different regions, you know?
Yep, I totally agree. So what was there an Italian-American comedian that somewhat influenced you and like the way you deliver your style of comedy, like, or even growing up, was there, there's not many, especially in the comedy realm, music you can name all day long of all Italians that were in the music industry, but was there a Italian American or Italian comedian that really influenced you?
I'm going to be honest with you, Vince. No. When I was growing up, like I said, I grew up in Italy and I always had that comedy inside of me. I entertained my family at parties. I entertained my peers at school. I just always had that clown inside of me to entertain people. When I came to the United States, I didn't follow much comedy. You know, just actually what I really was into was the Italian actor comedians, such as like comedians like Alvaro Vitale, which played Pierino, Lino Banfi, which did a couple, a few Italian comedy movies. So I was more into that kind of style of comedy. I didn't grow up with an Italian-American comedian. So everything I do, I try to keep as original as possible. I try to, you know, everything is written by me. Everything is thought out by me. My style on stage is my style, so everything is just original.
Well, that's good. Authentic to yourself. That's good.
I am comedians out there until I got into this business, like Joe Avadi, mm-hmm. Sebastian Maniscalco. I didn't know who these people were until I actually got into the business and started seeing all these comedians. But other than that, I try to keep it as original as I can.
Well, that's cool. So, yeah. This is kind of a big, I mean, you could talk about this all day long, but, you know, one thing that's interesting about you is you came in the 90s, correct?
Yes.
So I don't see, a lot of us don't, you know, like my grandparents came in the 50s. My mom immigrated in the 70s, and then no one else in my family really came after the 70s. And then, you know, 70s, 80s, there was still some immigration, but nowadays there's really not a lot of immigration from Italy coming over here. So you're still young, of course. And, you know, I'm still young and I'm so close to it. My, you know, my family's still all Italian that, you know, the tradition's going to keep going. But since the immigration has stopped and we're all going to keep getting older, what do you think is the future for at least Italian American entertainment? Let's stick to that point, the entertainment side of it in this country, especially since the immigration's starting to wind down.
That's a really, really great point. It's going to be rough, man. I'm not going to lie. It's going to be rough because you're right. You don't see immigration like the 70s and 80s. And that's where, when my grandparents came, that's when a lot of my family came. We were just late bloomers. And I noticed myself that the immigration is not booming. It might be hard. I mean, I think Italians are always going to be around. It's going to be mostly like second and third and fourth generations. And of course, the people that speak it and they're really, really into the roots is going to be less and less and less. So yeah, I do see it as a possibility of being of the Italian American entertainment to probably you know, lose its finesse.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I had a podcast interview with a guy named Ron Onesti. He's a promoter out in the Chicago area. He owns a theater, and he and I are friends. And he brought up a good point on this, which was the one thing about Italians is as long as there's Italian food in this country, the Italian culture and entertainment side probably won't 100% die off, because if you go to any Italian restaurant, there's, you know, O Sole Mio is playing in the background or whatever. So that whole thing is still going to keep going. But, you know, I think what you're doing, what I'm trying to do on the music side, and a lot of the musicians that I know that are taking, you know, the what we grew up with, and make it, putting our own little spin to it, because you have to start appealing to those second, third, fourth generation people that don't.
I agree.
Yeah, because they don't speak the language, or they heard it when they were little kids that they don't, you know. But it's still those memories that, like you said, even if they don't speak it or understand it, it's even the facial expressions or just the motions of it that it'll just kind of, you know, the light bulb goes off and, oh my gosh, I remember that. So.
Yeah, I think people will always appreciate their cultural backgrounds. So I think that's the only thing that's positive, that people will always appreciate it. And the music, that's something that never dies. The music and the food, I don't think that's something that will ever die. But when it comes to comedy, I mean right now we're booming. You know, it's booming. There's a lot of Italians out there, even third, fourth generations that have grandparents or great grandparents that were Italian, are really into their culture and want to know about it. And even if they don't speak it, they're interesting. In the future, like I said, I don't see it, especially comedy. I mean, I think comedy will always be comedy, but I don't think it'll be as relatable as it is now, you know, with the future generation. And maybe we're talking about what, 30, 40 years. I'm not talking about the next 10 years, but yeah, 30, 40 years. I could see it not be as how it is now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I got you. I agree. Just something that popped into my head too. When you, I'm sure you still got family over there.
Absolutely.
As do I. And some of them, when they come over here, we've tried showing them. I remember a long time ago, a lady out of Canada, Rosina Parmigiano, was one of the first of these like comedians that I remember doing like this stuff about Italians.
Parmigiano Calabrese.
Yeah. So I remember her, and this was maybe 10-12 years ago or something, she had started, and we had some cousins come over, and we thought it was hilarious, and we showed it to our cousins from Sicily, and they were like, I don't get what's funny about it. They didn't get the difference.
Ed, you have to be, I agree with them, you have to be almost an immigrant in a different country to actually understand what they're really referring to or talking about. They don't get it if they're just from Italy. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So I've always wondered that about like guys like you doing these videos, that if you, like your family back in Sicily, or even if it goes to Sicily, are they just watching it thinking, is this not funny? Or
The only thing I did notice is that I do have some followers from Italy and from Sicily, and they do, they actually do like it, and they send me messages all the time. They appreciate it and they love it. And because like I said, my comedy is mostly geared on how we grew up. Example, like, you know, we weren't allowed to sleep over anywhere. So that just didn't come from growing up in America. That also was, even if you're in Italy, your parents won't let you sleep over anywhere. Or the fact that like you mentioned a perfect point, like if you go outside with wet hair, you're going to get sick. Okay. That happens in Italy all the time. So when I bring up these skits where these Italian moms go crazy because you went out with chi capite bagnate, and you're going to catch a flu, you're going to catch a pneumonia because you went out. See, I make it relate to people that are in Italy. So it's kind of like, you know, it's still part of just being Italian, period, not just Italian American.
Oh, yeah. No, when my wife is a nurse, and from the very beginning, she was always, I didn't know. You grow up with it and you think that's how you get sick. So when my wife and I started dating.
You think it's real? Listen, still to today, in my brain, and I know how it's not true, I will not go in the pool or in the water unless I wait an hour or 2 hours after I eat. And even though people say, it's a myth, don't worry about it. If you don't swim, you're gonna get cramps. I'm like, listen, I can't do it. You know, because now my brain is gonna tell me that I'm gonna get sick, and I'm probably gonna end up getting sick because I've been brainwashed for 39 years. So I'm not doing it. I'm gonna wait the hour and then I'll feel better about going in the pool. That's it.
Same thing. I never knew any different about my grandparents had a pool here. It was always don't go in the water for 30 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, see, some people 30 minutes, some people want to get real dramatic and say an hour, 2 hours. You know, I think it's just the Sicilian parents just controlling your life. They love that control. So they.
In your car, the center light in the middle of the car. I grew up thinking, don't turn the light on. We're going to get pulled over. It's illegal to turn the light on. My wife's like, I've never heard of that before. I was like, oh, really? It's not illegal? It's because they just didn't want the light on. They tell you to turn it off. It's illegal.
And we believe stuff like that. We grow up and then we teach our kids about it and so on and so on and so on. And then at the end of the day, we're all going to need psychiatrists because, you know, we're just losing our minds. Seriously.
It's true. My grandmother, still, we fight to this day. She doesn't believe me about the wet hair. That's how you get the flu. My wife is a nurse who won't believe it. She'll laugh about it and see videos about it and think, oh, that's funny. But then I'll say, see, it's not true. Why'd you make us do this stuff? And she's like, oh, it's true. They followed it in the old country. If they knew about it, just like not wearing socks in the house. My grandfather would freak out if you didn't have socks while you walked around the house. He would think.
You're gonna get sick, right?
Yep.
With the cold floor, you're going to get sick.
Exactly.
It's insane. It's insane. I can't believe that all these things are not true, actually.
Me too.
We're raised like that, thinking that, you know, going out with you know, when it's cold and not wearing a hat or walking bare feet was going to get you sick. And I can't believe that's not true. I can't. You know how many times I got yelled at from my mom when I got sick, that she told me that it's because I was in the car with the window down? Or, yeah. It's insane. It's insanity. It's insanity.
The best thing about your stuff that I like is the how it's always your fault and they're just lignati. They're just beating you when it's have we told you, why are you an idiot? We told you not to do it and then you do it and then you're stupid for doing it. You could break your leg and you're an idiot. You're getting beat up and then, but they still love you. That's the best part of it.
What? What do you mean? How's it my fault that the car ran me over? How is it my fault that I'm playing a sport and the guy kicked me, I fell, broke my elbow, and it's my fault, and you get the rest of it too? You still get in trouble getting hurt.
It's amazing. I know. I'm 30 years old, so I'm still young, but, and you're young too, but it's amazing to think, you know, my son's 4 years old now. We could never, you can't even imagine doing that to any kids nowadays.
No. Just, I used to get yelled at for like spilling something on the floor. You know, besides the fact that my mother's a clean freak, you know, God forbid you spill something on the floor or you drop something by accident. It's hell, man. It's hell. You better run, leave the house. You're in trouble.
I know.
You know, like I grew up in a house where, you know, I moved in with somebody and I spilled something and she would be like, oh, don't worry about it. It's just a spill. We're going to clean it up. I was like, wait a minute, you're not yelling at me? You're not freaking out about me spilling soda on the floor? I'm like, these people, they're not Italian. They look at you like, why would I yell at you for you dropping something on the floor? Like, it's unbelievable. Our cultures are so different. And it's almost like a relief when you're not in that insanity mode.
Yeah, no, I know. And one thing, I've been asked this question before, because I tell these stories and, you know, all my non-Italian friends are just, they think it's nuts. And, you know, I don't think I would change any of the ways though that I was brought up with, you know, being, they're hard on you. Everybody's hard. If you're not working, you know, you're lazy and all this and, you know, all that. I don't think I would change it. Nowadays, everybody's, like you said, it's like we all need psychiatric help because of all this stuff. But still, I look at it and it's like, I'm very glad though about some of it.
Be with you 100%. I would never change it. I would never change it. I think, listen, I think, you know, we got beatings. I think most of Sicilian kids growing up from old school Sicilian parents, we got beatings. We got them when it was well deserved. You know, we grow up, we're not spoiled, we don't ask for much. No, definitely wouldn't change. I agree with you 100%, man. Yeah. I think it's awesome the way we grew up.
I agree. Yeah. And I'm trying to put a little bit of that into my son's only four. So there's a happy medium between me and my wife right now.
Of like, cool. course.
Yeah, so like, we're...
What McDonald's was till I was like 22 years old on my own. Like, I didn't know what eating out was. I'm like, McDonald's, you guys really eat that? Like, I'm 22. I don't know if I should ask my mother if it's okay, but I don't know. Yeah, man. What fast food was until because my mom cooked every single day. When we came from Sicily and we came to the United States, she kept the tradition. She cooked every night. Everybody ate at the table with the family. Nothing changed from Italy. Yeah, we didn't go out to eat. We didn't do much, you know. So we kept the tradition alive. We kept all like the things that we did the same from Italy. Nothing really changed. I changed a little bit, and I got away and I modernized myself more once I was an adult and I was out of the house. So that's when I changed my ways a little bit. But my parents, till today, it's like you would think they're in it's 1960 at my mom's house. They don't change.
That's how it is with my aunts and my grandparents. And what's funny is about the eating out thing. My wife doesn't get it. We could take my grandmother or my old Italian aunts to the greatest restaurant in America. They'll eat something and it's okay. I could do better. I'll make it when we get home. Or it's skifu. This is, we can't go out at skifu to eat this food. It's just like, I don't understand. Oh,
the pickiest people in the world. You know what? I stopped taking my mother out because everywhere I take her, it's not good enough, you know, because everything they make is perfect. I wasn't allowed to eat sauce in a restaurant. Like we would get like invited to restaurants or venues or somebody got married. And the whole ti raccomando before we actually went to the restaurant was ti raccomando, whatever you do at this wedding, do not eat the sauce out, because they had this thing with sauce that they kept on using it, so it would become acidy. So in their mind, the sauce was never good because it's not freshly made and it's not the way we make it. So we were never allowed when we were out to ever have sauce, because the sauce was going to give you agita and it was no good. So when we went out, we ate everything besides anything that was made with sauce. Anything that was made with sauce, it was no.
Wow, never heard that. That's interesting. Wow.
Yeah,
that's an interesting one. Well,
make their own sauce at home.
Yeah.
So they believe that nobody else does that. So you're not allowed to have sauce anywhere else because it's gonna give you agita. You're gonna get sick. That give you agita. No sauce.
Well, I get agita whether it's homemade or not because of the tomatoes. I think that's the what they're getting wrong is it's so acidic. Anyways, I get agita.
It's just acidic. Listen, I went to the doctor. I just got diagnosed with GERD, which is
me too. It's horrible.
Reflux. The doctor told me don't eat sauce, don't have coffee, don't have anything. I'm like, doc, I'm like, I'm Italian. I'm like, I'm Sicilian. Doc, do you know what you're telling me? Don't eat sauce? And he looked at me, he's like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, doc, this is what we're going to do. All right, I'm going to tell you what to do. You're going to have to give me some kind of prescription, okay, to make sure I can eat sauce and everything you just told me not to have. He's like, all right, here's some omeprazole. Have it, you eat, and you're going to be good. So, yeah, dude, I'm not going to sauce and espresso. You crazy? Come on.
The same thing happened to me this year. I got diagnosed with GERD, and I haven't had coffee since my birthday in April. I got off of it. I haven't had sugu.
That's your trick, Fatal, right? It's between me and you and all the Sicilians in the world. You wake up in the morning, it's over the counter, it's Prilosec, okay?
Yeah.
Take a Prilosec in the morning. You could eat even bricks and stones and you'll be okay.
I just got off of it. I was on it for, I had GERD 6 years ago. So I was on that meds for 4 years.
Oh, so you know.
Oh yeah, I know. I went back on it again this year. I got off and, you know, thankfully, knock on wood, it's been 2 months. I haven't had anything. I'm just watching what I eat, and cabbage juice. It's disgusting. But if you drink cabbage juice, it helps with the acidity. It's weird. I don't know. I'm like the master at like agitu and GERD right now. Everybody's going to be making fun of me. That it's
Italian household doesn't have brioche in their house. Everybody's got brioche because everybody's got agitu because everybody's eating tomatoes and sauce.
Exactly. Listen,
you just got to deal with it. That's it.
That's what my grandma, she yells at me. Forget the medication. I've had it for 75 years. Just deal with it. It's like,
you got your egg prime verbatini. your chicken parm, a pasta forno, your lasagna. How are you going to have that? How?
You can't. I know. That's...
You got to do what you got to do. You know, you just got to, it's either you deal with the heartburn or you take Alka-Seltzer or Prilosec or Brioski. Something you got to do, but you still got to eat that. You got to
I know.
Come on, friends. You know what I'm talking about.
I know. Trust me, I haven't had pizza since April. I'm dying. So I'm.
Oh, you gotta have this, and I have pizza like 13 times a week.
I wish. Well, before we end this, what's next for you? I know we talked about it a little bit already with COVID going on, but how do people find out about you if they haven't seen your stuff before? How do they follow you? Anything upcoming? Websites? Whatever you got.
I'm everywhere on social media. I have the Sicilian Guy comedy page on Facebook, the Sicilian Guy on YouTube, the Sicilian Guy on Instagram, and hopefully everybody will hear from me soon as well on the big screen. I just got cast for a movie. It's called Love Lives On. Filming does start 2021, probably like spring or summer of 2021. That's the movie. It's called Love Lives On, and that's another big project that I got thrown into, and I'm blessed and happy to do to be in an acting position. So we'll try that as well. 2021, there's gonna be shows everywhere. Hopefully, you know, it's all up to COVID. If everything reopens, you're gonna find me everywhere in the Midwest, Chicago, Detroit, Milwaukee, California, New Jersey, the Northeast, Florida, and you know, hopefully in Canada and Australia, we're gonna have shows everywhere. So keep a lookout. Like I said, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube.
Well, that's great. Congratulations. I'm happy for you. It's I went to see my grandmother yesterday. It's her birthday today, so I went to wish her a happy birthday. And I told her we were doing this interview, and she's like, "Oh my God, is that the guy that dresses up like his mom?" And yeah, oh my God, I love that guy. So
you send your grandmother a big kiss when you see her from da parte mia. Ci dice, "Stringa te manna una bella bacio e un bella braccio." Ci dice.
All right, I'll let her know. And yeah, so you got fans all over the place, and especially here in Rockford. So one of these days we'll have to talk, and I'll have to get you out here in Rockford.
Hey, man, you just say the word. I'm there.
All right, sounds good. Well, once again, thanks to Al, the Sicilian Guy. Check him out on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all over. I'll tag the links on here. And once again, thanks for listening to the Italian American Entertainment Podcast. Thanks again, Al.
Absolutely. Thank you, and awesome. Great to be on. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. We'll talk to you next time. See you later.
Take care.